He's Dave Consolazio here alongside Kevin KT Taylor for Wild Card Week of NFL Beyond the Numbers. KT, it has been a little while. Yeah. Life got in the way. I had a Vegas trip. You had a little honeymoon. Sometimes you got to enjoy your life a little bit instead of podcasting for free.
We both had some nice vacations over the weekend, over the Christmas holiday, which definitely helped us recharge our batteries and get ready for the playoffs.
In honor of one of the podcasts we did before we had our little break there, we were talking about the playoffs potentially extending to 16, 20 teams in the regular season, not meaning anything. Yeah. So we took the last couple weeks off. Eventually, everybody's going to make the playoffs anyway. We're in the playoffs. Here we are. We've got some picks. We can take some weeks off now.
Yeah, exactly. And last year on this podcast, I believe you went 3-1, including your ridiculous pick of the Broncos actually beating the Steelers, which came
in overtime. That was really good.
And I was 2-2, but I did also pick the Giants to win every single step of the way,
and they did.
So I kind of redeemed myself there. But I'm excited because I was looking at your dime this morning. We actually disagree on all but one of these games.
Yeah, and I appreciate that you're bringing up what happened in last year's playoffs as opposed to what happened in this year's regular season. We're just
going
to put that aside now and just get right into the playoffs. But I am also happy to hear that we are disagreeing on a lot of things because for the most part, I'm going pretty chalky in the first round. So it sounds like you're taking some upsets. So let's start with Cincinnati-Houston. Now, this is the one upset I've got. Yeah. I like Cincinnati to beat Houston outright. How are you feeling about this?
It's funny because obviously this is a rematch of last year, and last year I picked Cincinnati, you picked Houston, and you were dead on Houston, just crushed Cincinnati.
Yep.
I don't see a blowout in this one. I think this is going to be a lot closer, but I have Houston in this game. And it's funny because, you know, as I was writing my notes on this and thinking about it, I was thinking, oh, well, Schwab obviously has the bigger game experience than Andy Dalton. But I thought about it, and he actually doesn't at all. He's had a very solid veteran career now of 8 or 9 years, but he's never started a playoff game, as crazy as that sounds. And Andy Dalton does have that game from last year to look on, so you actually have an advantage there for Cincinnati. But the big thing for me here is that, you know, the Texans started the season out 11-1. Something happened in the last month that they unraveled and they lost the sense of who they were. I think specifically on defense. I think that this is a team that prided themselves, led by J.J. Watt, of course, having a defensive MVP type season. And they kind of just lost themselves in the last 2 weeks and weren't intimidating really at all. And I think that in the playoffs in January, I think that they find a way to get that back and get a win over a team that on paper, I think they are better than in Cincinnati. And I think they will win this game, despite the fact that Cincinnati has been on fire as of recently.
See, I don't think they've lost their identity on offense. On defense. I think they've lost it on offense. I mean, if you look at the last month, they've had their 1-3 over the last four games, and the three losses were all by double digits. The New England game really knocked this team down a few pegs. They got completely destroyed by New England. They did beat Indianapolis at home, but the Minnesota game, they did nothing on offense. Yep. And then last week, in a game that they obviously wanted to win to avoid having to play again this week, they lost to Indianapolis, and I thought that was a really ugly loss, and they only put up 16 points in that, and they couldn't even get to 10 against Minnesota. Offensively, things aren't clicking right now, and Schaub is a big part of that.
Yeah.
Now, I think it's quite possible that, okay, it's the playoffs, let's just kick it into gear. But there hasn't been a lack of motivation over the last couple of weeks. I mean, this team has had the opportunity to clinch home field throughout the playoffs, and not only have they had the opportunity, they should have. They had a pretty comfortable buffer zone there.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that they can just magically turn it on when you talk about motivation, considering they should have been motivated already. But Cincinnati, 7-1 over their last 8 games. They haven't given up more than 20 points in any of those games. And they're giving up 12.75 points per game. This defense has been impeccable, and it's not just against scrubs. They have beaten some really solid teams along the way on that stretch. And I just, with the way Houston's offense looks right now and the way Cincinnati's defense looks, I'm not seeing Houston get much more than 10, 14, 17 points. And on that end, I think Cincinnati can squeak out a victory.
Yeah, it's a great point as well as to make about the 20 points. That was to Dallas a few weeks ago. That's the most they've given up. And the offense has been playing well as a result, held under 20 points just twice in that period. So So that shows how great they've been playing. On the other hand, you have Houston who, you know, as I mentioned, their defense was struggling. I agree with you on the offense, but what's really head-scratching for me, the Texans allowing 27 points a game in their last seven. And I think the thing that actually started that wasn't the New England loss, it was the Jacksonville game where they won the game 43-37, allowing 37 to Jacksonville. They haven't been the same since. And so that's a little concerning for me. And so on paper, and the last thing I want to say about Cincinnati that I like on there and that could pull the upset is, on paper, these are two very similar teams from last year. Probably the biggest difference has been Jarvis Greenellis for Cincinnati, who's had a fantastic year for them, especially in this later season, in the half the season. He upped his touchdowns a lot and helped them through. So on paper, I think Cincinnati definitely has what it takes to pull this upset, and they could. I just think that at home in the playoffs, there's going to be a new there should have been, I agree with you, a sense of urgency before. I think now that they're in the playoffs, it's going to get real for the Texans, and I think they have to get a win. I don't think Cincinnati is the team that's going to knock off this Texans team that we thought for so long was the best team in football. I think that it's going to be more likely New England or Denver. I think they win this game this week.
Hey, you might be right, and maybe this last month has just been a big rope-a-dope, and now they're going to start looking to lead again. But ever since that New England game, I've been off of the Houston bandwagon. Ooh. And the last month, that Minnesota game was really bad. Yeah. And it was, and no disrespect to Minnesota, who obviously has a ton of momentum going here. Mm-hmm. That game was inexcusable at home. Like you said, they were never in it. Yeah. And it's a Minnesota defense that it's all right, but it shouldn't be holding the Texans at home to less than 10. So, I don't know. I if Houston does just magically reappear, it's possible. But even when Houston was at its pinnacle, they didn't have to play a lot of good teams. For the most part, when they played tough teams, they crumbled. Now, hey, where do you put Cincinnati? Is Cincinnati an elite team? No. So maybe this is in their wheelhouse, but I think this is going to be a close game. I don't think Cincinnati runs away with it or anything.
I think all four of these games, I really think, could go either way. It's really interesting. Normally, you have one that's just going to be a blowout.
Yeah, you're right.
You
like last year's New Orleans, Detroit. Yeah, that was never in doubt for the most part. But
I think there's going to be some really good games.
So on the before we move on, as far as the spread goes,
the score
four, 4.5 points. Would you be on that? Or
I actually do. I think Houston probably wins this in the area of 27-21. A field goal game would definitely. It's not one I'm going to run to the presses to bet. You know,
right.
But I do think that Houston does get around a 6-7 point win here, a 3-point win, or even a loss, as I've mentioned, wouldn't shock me. But I do like them to cover that spread.
Yeah, they're going to really have to get some unfound energy from that home crowd because Cincinnati is on a roll right now, and Houston just looks like a team that's ready to be one and done, but we'll soon find out. And then moving on to the later game Saturday, Green Bay, 1 week after losing to Minnesota, is now hosting Minnesota and is a 7.5-point favorite. How do you see this one going?
This is the one game, as we mentioned, that we agree upon. And yes, Minnesota did win this last week, but we both think Green Bay is going to bounce back and win this. Going into last week, I had the Green Bay Packers once again pegged as my favorite in the NFC. That the NFC favorite for me, I thought Denver was the best team in the AFC since probably about week 8 when they had won 3 in a row and they were starting to get there. I mentioned that before. That's clearly not wavered since, as they've not had any reason to not be. The NFC, I've had the Giants up there, I've had the Niners and the Falcons, and I had Green Bay last week, and I'm concerned very much about this defense. What's interesting about Green Bay is the whole year there have been question marks on both sides of the ball. For the offense, it's been the health of the receiving core. I think last week, with the exception of maybe a game in the middle, was the first time since the opening week that they had a healthy Jordy Nelson and a healthy Greg Jennings the entire time to go with Randall Cobb and James Jones and make that offense that we're so scared of. They still don't have Cedric Benson, which is a big blow, a guy who's getting involved with that offense a lot. But you look at the defense last week, when you score 34 points in the NFL, you should win the game.
Sure.
That's pretty much the bottom line. Especially against an offense like Minnesota, who of course, Adrian Peterson has had a sublime season and has been fantastic, but I've been very impressed by the Vikings able to win these last three games without Percy Harvin. And I think what's clear is that Christian Ponder isn't as bad as we thought he was. He's certainly not getting up there in the conversation of a top 10 quarterback, but he's managing the games well this year. And more importantly, more than anything last year, he's been making plays this year when they need him. 37 points last week. The Green Bay defense is going to have to find a way to get their identity back, make some plays, and hold this Minnesota offense down, or else we could have another shit on our hands, and in a shootout, anybody can win, as we saw last week in Minnesota.
Yeah, Green Bay is a funny team in that way, that they've been pretty much on a roll since week six, but it hasn't really looked pretty. And even though when they've been covering the spread, it's always been with late field goals, they haven't run away with too many games, for some of the reasons you mentioned. I do think defensively that being at home really makes a difference for this team. I mean, they've won seven straight at home, and when they played Minnesota in Green Bay, despite the fact that Peterson went off for 210 yards, it was a 23-14 victory for the Packers. And I think it's funny to think that a team with so many veterans on defense would get rattled by a road crowd, but this team does just seem to be more comfortable and able to communicate better at home, which makes sense. Some teams are able to do that better at home, obviously, but that there is a noticeable difference for this team, and I'm actually more concerned for Christian Ponder in this game going into Lambeau Field. You're right, he's not as bad as we thought he was. And on top of that, you can easily point to the fact that this is the 31st ranked passing offense. But if you had Adrian Peterson rushing for 200 yards a game, why are you going to be throwing the ball 40 times a game? So it's one of those stats like we were talking about last year when we were defending Green Bay's defense about how, teams are always passing. It's like, this team is always running. So it's not Ponder's fault, but this is more to me about, I'm concerned about Green Bay's defense moving forward, but I think when you look at the second half of that Minnesota game, Green Bay's offense was on a roll, and I think that's going to carry over, especially at home. I think Green Bay is going to score into the 30s here, and Minnesota isn't built to. And they can, like you said, against it, if it devolves into a shootout, they can, and they did, and that was exactly the recipe. But Green Bay gets to 34 again. The question is, does Minnesota get to 37 again? And that's where neither of us thinks they
can. Exactly. I think we're on the same page here. If we're going to say one thing in Minnesota's favor that they can get this win would be, as we know, there's two ways to defend Aaron Rodgers. One of them is to get pressure on him, as the Giants did so well in the playoffs last year, and the Vikings have Jared Allen. He can make some noise in this game. The second is plainly to keep him off the field. And if you're going to keep him off the field, Adrian Peterson's about as good running back as you can to grind out the game and get those long offensive possessions and keep him cold on the sidelines. Is that going to work? I don't think so with the way this offense is going, but that has to be Minnesota's game plan coming in.
I don't know. He breaks too many, 40, 50-yard runs.
He's too good.
He doesn't waste enough time just with those little grinded-out 3-4-yard runs. He's got to slow down a little bit because he's something. That really was a shame that he fell short. I don't know about
9 yards.
I was screaming to the TV, just go wide. Just go wide. Give him a shot at it. I've been joking this week that Vikings, you're not going to win the Super Bowl. This team isn't going to win the Super Bowl. You could have gone in the books for something special. just give them the rock a couple more times and give them that. But they're 4-0 over the last four, and he's played well. The defense has played well in spots like they did in Houston. Last week, not so much, but did enough to win. So 7.5 points is a really tricky spread in this game.
Just what I was about to point out, and again, it's not a spread that I love, but it's one where I'm leaning towards Green Bay. I'm looking in the area of a 34-23, 34-24 win for Green Bay. If it develops into a shootout, I never like taking more than a touchdown and potential shootout, but I think that Minnesota's offense is going to cool off a little bit and only put up about 20-23 here.
Yeah, I think I wrote about 31-17 as my prediction. I think this week Green Bay, last week they got off to a bit of a slow start on offense and came on in the second half. They get off to a quick start on offense and Minnesota's forced to start throwing, which it seems like they're never forced to start throwing.
Yeah.
But if they are, that's when their game would fall apart and they might have another 14-point day like they did last time they played in Green Bay. So I'm also leaning towards a -7.5, but that's a good spread because I wouldn't feel comfortable with that hook at all. I think Minnesota's more than capable of keeping it within 4 or 5 points. So let's get into Sunday's game and the most emotional wild card game in the history of NFL football, pretty much, with the Indianapolis Colts heading to Baltimore. Chuck Pagano back after that. This season, really, you cannot understate how incredible this story is for a 2-14 team to draft the number one overall quarterback who leads a team to an 11-5 season while their coach is battling leukemia, who gives inspirational speeches along the way, returns, wins as a 7-point underdog over Houston, gives the home fans something crazy to go absolutely nuts in that Week 17 game. Ooh. Now on the sidelines, coaching in the playoffs. What an incredible story for the Colts. I mean, a 9-win shift is insane. Mm-hmm. And then now, like I said in my newsletter, I think it was a very smart move by Ray Lewis.
Of course.
To announce his retirement. When saying, and great excuse too, saying, I just wanted the fans to know that this was going to be it so they'd have a chance to. I actually think that's a valid, that's the reason he did it, but I think that's a valid justification for it, as opposed to just walking off at the end of the season. He wants the fans to.
Because he knows they're struggling.
He knows they're struggling. Yeah. And they're 1-5 or 1-4 over their last, at the end here. Not only is his return going to give them a huge boost, but to announce his retirement, emotionally, I don't know that one guy, I can think of Brian Urlacher, maybe Tom Brady, I can't think of one guy that defines a team more than Ray Lewis defines the Baltimore Ravens, and now this guy wants to go off into the sunset, you're going to let him do it with a loss this week? I don't think so. Are you going to let Chuck Pagano down? I don't think so. Somebody's got to lose this game. Yeah. Nobody's going to want to. It's going to be pretty intense.
It is, and, you know, I was writing my preview for this on Sports Invasion, and my thoughts were, the Colts are a good team. The Colts aren't an elite team. I don't think the Colts are even a great team. I think that this season has been the perfect storm of young players playing better than they ever thought they could, led, of course, by Andrew Luck. Chuck Pagano, this whole story, as you mentioned, and ultimately, as much of a downer, I guess, or as a comment, as it's a weak schedule, as we've talked
Absolutely
about.
Absolutely.
You pointed this out, I think, when they were 8-3 or so, that they had a very soft schedule. They had wins in the beginning of the season over Minnesota and Green Bay when neither team was playing at the form they are now. And, of course, they had the win against Houston last week.
Which they're not playing in good form either.
Exactly. Here's the 8 teams that they beat other than that. It was Cleveland, Miami, Jacksonville, Buffalo, Detroit, Kansas City, and Tennessee twice.
Right.
Nobody really impressive on that list.
No.
Having said all of that, the way that this season has gone, I don't think it's going to be the Baltimore Ravens, the team that has struggled so badly in the second half, and some people are talking about as one of the worst 10-6 division winners of all time. The way that they've struggled recently and just absolutely not shown up in some games, the Giants game where they got blowout, a few other games where they just absolutely
No, the Giants game was the one that they did the blowout.
Oh, yeah.
It was the other ones that they didn't look good.
So you just look at that, and I don't think, even with this incredible boost that you can't understate with Ray Lewis, I don't think, even in Baltimore, this is the game that the Colts lose to end this magical season. I just don't think that the Ravens this year have enough to do it. I think in years past, this is a perfect game for the Ravens to, the veterans to come in, show the young guns what's up, and this is the playoffs, these are the big games, we're going to punch you in the mouth. I don't think this is going to happen this year. I just don't think the Ravens are that good this year.
That's fair. The Ravens are certainly not above being beaten. They've proven that over the last month. But if you look at the games, now granted, they lost to Pittsburgh without Roethlisberger. That was a really ugly game. But that was by a field goal against a division rival. They went into Washington, and honestly, they should not have lost that game. That was a really good effort on Baltimore's part. It was in Washington, and Washington, to its defense, is outstanding and did what it had to do to win that game. But they lost the Pittsburgh game by a field goal, the Washington game by a field goal. They blew out the Giants. At the end there against Cincinnati, they weren't even trying. They took Flacco out very early on in that game. So yes, they struggled down the stretch, but it doesn't feel to me like a genuine struggle like Houston's was. Now, that might just be selective reasoning, but this team is not good enough this year, I don't think, to go on the road and beat a Denver or a New England. Usually Baltimore is that type of team that you're terrified to. This year's version, I don't think so. But at home, where they're 17-2 in their last 19 games, hosting a team that has really done nothing on the road.
Yeah.
Nothing. They lost big to New England. They lost big to Houston, or by about 12 to Houston. They had the big win over Green Bay at home. And like we said, it's a laundry list of just mediocre wins. Now, to their defense, it's not their fault. Their schedule is super soft. They made the best of it. But Luck actually has a 10 touchdown to 13 interception ratio on the road. He's had his struggles on the road. This team is a ball-hawking team. Mm-hmm. Even though this year the defense is down a bit, a lot of that has to do with the fact that Ray Lewis hasn't been there. Yeah. Ray Lewis back is going to do wonders for this defense. I think it's going to be like night and day. And I'm just not seeing the Colts go into this stadium when, again, if Ray Lewis doesn't announce his retirement, I'm not sure I feel the same way. Yeah. Because Indianapolis is on such an emotional high right now. Mm-hmm. And this isn't a team. A lot of teams like this would be happy to just have made the playoffs. I don't think Indianapolis is. I think they truly believe in themselves. And this is a game they should feel they can win because they can. But Baltimore just has so many veterans on this defense and so many of these guys on this offense that have been here year after year and failed. And they're going to be hungry for this game and they're at home. I think it's a very bold pick to take Indianapolis, if that makes sense.
Yeah, but if you look at Baltimore, you know, you argued about how some of the games they should have won. One of the few games they did win against San Diego, they had no business winning the way they played it. They were down 13-3 the whole game. Ray Rice says that absurd 4th-and-29 conversion.
Great defense on San Diego.
And speaking of Ray Rice, he has to be the key for Baltimore because I think he's getting to the level of the LeSean McCoy level of being ignored as far as this offense is concerned. Because Andy Reid loves to pass the ball in Philadelphia, will run the ball with McCoy 10 times, will have 80 yards, and forget about him the rest of the game. That's what the Baltimore Ravens are doing with Ray Rice. They just are not using him at all, really, in this offense. And especially against Indianapolis, who's 29th in the NFL against the rushing defense. You have to use Ray Rice. If Baltimore tries to get cute early on, falls in love with the pass, and tries to blow this team out early, I think Flacco can make some mistakes, and I think the Colts can make him pay. In years past, this is a game I would never pick the Colts in, because you know how much I've loved Baltimore over the years in their defense. I just, the way that I've been watching Baltimore play, I just don't think that they're the team that's going to knock off this unbelievable story by the Colts. I think the Colts get this game, and then maybe they have an epic game against Peyton Manning and the Broncos, and that's how they bow out this year. I think that Andrew Luck is ready for this. I really do.
That I agree with.
So I think that they pull off the upset. I'm looking in the area of 24-20.
The one thing when you mentioned Andrew Luck being ready for this, he has struggled on the road, and against this team I can easily see a 2 or 3 interception day. I could also see this just being the game that Andrew Luck says, you know what, Russell Wilson, RG3, you guys are looking pretty good over there, let me show you, I'm here
too. Let me start things off.
And kick it off in style. So I could see that happening, and Baltimore, it's hard. It is hard for me to say, yeah, Baltimore's going to crush them, because you're right, like, Baltimore's just been so underwhelming this year. Even when they were winning games, they weren't winning them pretty. But I don't know. I just don't see them at home losing this game. If this were in Indianapolis, I would actually be on the Colts with the way that they're playing and the momentum and everything. But I think Baltimore's the better team, not by a substantial margin, but by a decent margin. And then with home field advantage, with Ray Lewis returning and retiring, it's a lot to stack up against. But I don't love them at -6.5. You should love Indianapolis at plus 6.5, obviously. Because it probably will end up being a close game. Unless Baltimore can actually get it going on offense, like it looks like they should be able to on paper, but they don't
have it. Make Andrew Luck make some throws. He can make a mistake. That could definitely happen.
So that'll be a good one. And then the best one of all, in my opinion, by a substantial margin, perhaps, despite the fact that all these games are good, I haven't looked forward to a wild card week game this much in a long time. That's
the preseason NFL Beyond the Numbers. Someone comes up to us and says, the Redskins and the Seahawks are going to play in the wild card, and it's going to be by far the most interesting game. What would we have done?
Well, we would have slapped that guy, and now we'd be giving him a call, hiring him for next year. It's insane, and I guess I would have laughed and said, "Oh, what did Seattle get in there at 7-9 again?"
Yeah, exactly.
But man, both of these teams are excellent, and I can already say if Green Bay does beat Minnesota, is there any way you're taking Atlanta over either of these two teams? I mean, poor Atlanta. They year in and year out, they're going to eventually have to prove they can get it done in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And if Green Bay wins and they have to play the winner of this game, that's just not fair. That's a tough game. But who is the winner of this game going to be?
This is one that I've been going back and forth on a lot, and you might actually convince me, and I might convince you.
It's on the table.
Right now, I have Washington, but I absolutely don't love it whatsoever. Something has to give here, because the Redskins are winners of 7 in a row. Remember, it was 3-6, they had their bye, and Shanahan was talking about... I think his comments were definitely misconstrued, but a lot of people thought that he was phoning in the rest of the season, and they were just playing for roster spots. 7 games in a row they've won now, including huge games against division opponents.
5 division opponents, the win over Baltimore, which was huge. That's the game that RG3 goes down,
and Kirk Cousins
has that amazing comeback, and then goes into Cleveland, and that was a tougher game, and that's going to get
made
cut
it, and he
too.
Made it look easy,
super
too. That's
easy.
The great thing.
It was like they were interchangeable.
Exactly, and this defense has held their opponents under 20 points a game the last 3. They're playing well. Seattle, I mean, these guys, 7 of their last 8, and they had five straight. They had their 20-13 win last week against the Rams. Before that, the offense put up 58, 15, 42. Just absurd numbers on their end, and this offense still, on paper, isn't one that you would think can put up those numbers, but when they get it going, Marshawn Lynch, Russell Wilson's just playing fantastic. A guy who, I feel bad for Russell Wilson, because any other year, he's a lock for Rookie of the Year, probably going to the Pro Bowl, and RG3 and Luck have just taken all of it from him, but this is his chance to step up on the biggest stage. You know, a lot of times the easiest thing to say about Seattle has knocking them for their road performances. And I still think that's a factor. They're 3-5 on the road, but they did win their last 2. Buffalo's road victory isn't that great, but they did beat Chicago in Chicago. A huge game, even when the Bears were struggling. So the road factor is still there, but not as big as it used to be. I think Washington, I mean, how long has it been since the Redskins fans have seen a playoff game in January? And now you have RG3 coming in. I think that crowd is going to be super hyped. I think RG3 is going to feed off that energy. I like the Redskins to win this, but I don't love it.
See, it interests me that you brush off the road part for Seattle, because if I were on Washington, I think that would probably be what I was really honing in on.
Sure.
These two teams, offensively, I would say they're fairly evenly matched. I mean, you have great athletic quarterbacks that don't make mistakes.
Sure.
Now, RG3, obviously the better of the two, but on the flip side, he's playing at less than 100% with that brace, and Russell Wilson has really come into his own over the last few weeks, as you just mentioned, some of those huge numbers. And by the way, I don't know how you can quietly tie Peyton Manning's rookie touchdown record. I quietly passed for 26 touchdowns, which nobody's done since Peyton Manning, but... Like you said, that just completely was like, oh, no big deal. It's fine. Both offenses have great young quarterbacks that don't look anything like rookies at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And both teams have amazing running backs, too. Alfred Morris, another guy who doesn't look anything like a rookie, sets the Redskins' rushing rookie record with well over 1,600 yards. And then Marshawn Lynch on the other side, just a dominant force.
Yeah.
So... offensively, I think it's pretty much a wash, maybe a slight advantage to Washington. I think Seattle's defense is substantially better. And for those suspensions to not get upheld on the outside and keep this cornerback tandem in place, they can play on islands on the outside, especially against a team like Washington that's not going to blow you away with wide receiver talent.
Mm-hmm.
And they can really hone in on this run. And we've seen them do it against Carolina. They held Cam Newton to only 12 points and beat Carolina. And that incredible win over San Francisco.
Yep.
It's easy to say, oh, they scored 50 against Arizona, or big deal, it was Buffalo. The dominant win over San Francisco put this team on the map, because any team that can do that to San Francisco, I'm blown away by, and they completely contain Colin Kaepernick.
Mm-hmm.
Now, between Kaepernick, Newton, and Griffin III, yeah, I like Griffin III the best, but they have the recipe for containing mobile quarterbacks. Absolutely. So what I'm going on, if I'm rooting for Washington, or if I'm expecting Washington, all the points you made, Washington's so red hot right now, and they're at home, they're going to be feeding off of that. They're not going to be... RG3 is one of the most composed rookies, as is Andrew Luck. These guys just aren't rookies. It's insane. Now, you could say similar about Russell Wilson. He was a five-year college starter, so that's probably why he looks so composed as well. But he's the one that has to go on the road.
Yeah.
And he's the one that's got a team that's 3-5 on the road this year that, yes, beat Chicago while they were in the midst of a 2-5 stretch. And, yes, beat Buffalo in Toronto, and it's Buffalo.
Yeah.
So are we really convinced the road woes are gone? That's my concern.
I don't think that they're gone. I just think that they, to be able, regardless of how much Chicago struggled.
Miami beat them before that game.
To be able to go into Chicago, I think, in a big game like that where they needed to get a win to keep their playoff hopes strong, that really impressed me. I don't think the woes are gone whatsoever. I'd agree with you that the defense, I like Seattle's defense more. I think probably the biggest factor is, you know, plain and simple, between RG3 and Wilson, who's going to be more effective? Because RG3 is a better passer than Wilson, but I think Wilson's actually a better runner than RG3. He's quicker, I think, and more side to side. Not as big, but he's more versatile.
With the brace, I mean.
Yeah, that too. So I think it's just going to be a factor of, you know, which quarterback can make plays either with the throw or on the ground. Pierre Garçon's been a huge lift for RG3 in the second half of the season, and given him that number one receiver that he was dying to have in the first half of the season. He's had nobody to throw to in the first half, pretty much.
Yeah.
When you get Garçon back in there and he opens up things for the lesser talented receivers, Santana Moss is still there at, what, 47, still doing well for this team. So I like the weapons on the outside a little more for the Redskins. I like Marshawn Lynch a little more in the running back. Even with the knee brace, I give RG3 a slight edge because of that 2 out of 3 offensively. It's such a close game, and I really can't make a huge argument either way. But for the home crowd, whenever it's a really close game like this, I go with the home team more often than not. Got to go with Redskins. It's going to be tight, though. I have it in the area of 27-24.
That's fair. If Seattle's... I don't know what part of the road has bothered Seattle in the past. If it's hostile crowds and they're not able to communicate on offense, or if it's simply traveling across the country and starting at 10 a.m. when you're a West Coast team, that's not going to be a factor in this one. Mm-hmm. And I tend to believe that it's not the crowd noise. I tend to believe it's more that, the travel and just the wear of the regular season, as opposed to that. When this team, especially at home, when Seattle is energized, they can and do beat anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And they're certainly going to be energized for the playoffs. So I give their defense, despite the fact that Washington's defense has played well, as nice as it as those division wins are, if you do look at them, it's Philadelphia, which has its problems. Dallas has its problems. And the Giants had just another weird collapse this year. Cleveland, of course, doesn't have an offense. So not taking anything away from Washington's defense, but I think Seattle's is considerably better, while the offenses are pretty comparable. So that's for me where I make that pick. But RG3 is good enough to make that not matter. And this home crowd and everything, it's I can't see it being more than a 4-point game. I've got a 24-20.
Sure.
But it would really surprise me if either team ran away with this. Every other game on the board, I actually wouldn't be surprised if either team... I'd be surprised if Minnesota ran away with it.
Yeah.
But every other game, I could see either team winning by 10. This one, I'm having trouble with.
And last thing, it would be interesting, of course, all year, we've had the neck-and-neck battle with RG3 and Luck. How fitting would it be if they both got wins on Sunday? It was just like, Luck goes into RG3's like, all right, I'm right there with you. I'll one-up you. It's fine. That'd be crazy.
Yeah, the fact that all three of these guys made the playoffs, I mean, this is an incredible crop of quarterbacks and wonderful for the future of the league, obviously.
Sure.
Especially when they're 26 playoff teams. These are the ones that are earned on merit, as opposed to needing to be handed those spots. But we might as well end it on the wonderful suggestion of yours of going ahead and giving our Super Bowl picks, because I don't remember exactly what mine was preseason, but I believe It was something along the lines of the Jets versus it was a toss-up for me between the Saints and the Eagles. So they're all long gone.
Yeah.
So I like the chance to get a fresh start, but you go ahead.
Yeah, so in the beginning of the season, you made some bold picks, and you thought that
the Jets would have a bounce. The Jets were bold.
And I went chalk, and I had the Patriots and the Packers, and those two teams are the number two seeds in their respective divisions, still very much alive.
The Packers are down to three.
They should have been. So, despite how much I love Russell Wilson and RG3 and Colin Kaepernick, it amazes me that in the NFC you have 9 combined playoff starts amongst the quarterbacks, and Aaron Rodgers has a majority of those. So, because of that, I love their offense probably more than I love any individual unit anywhere else in the NFC. Even the San Francisco defense, which has looked great as of late, and other things. I think that they're probably the most complete unit out there when healthy. I still like the Packers in the NFC. And as much as I'd like to stick to my preseason pick and go with that the whole way, I've been on the Broncos for 3 months now, and there's no reason for me to go against that. So right now I have the Packers and the Broncos.
Yeah, we'll see how we feel next week, but it's really, really hard to not get the Broncos and Patriots into that AFC championship game, and that should be one for the ages. That one, if that goes down, will be something. In the AFC, I think that game is a virtual lock, and for those that follow my NFL newsletter, the Patriots all year long have just tortured me. I cannot figure that team out.
Yeah.
They always tend to win, but they have off games against the most random teams. I'd lean towards Denver in that game. I think in my head right now I'm leaning towards Denver just because they'd be at home and the defense is better. But the Patriots' offense is so good.
Well, what's really interesting is this: if they met, it'd be the first time that it was in cold weather outside and it was in Peyton Manning's backyard.
Right.
That'd be very interesting to see, because it's always been either in the dome where it's really loud and warm and Peyton's comfortable, or it's been in the snow of Foxborough and Peyton's never had anything on his side.
Right.
Now that it's going to be in Denver in late January, that could be very interesting.
That's his team. Yeah, there's so many things that would go ahead that we go into that, that we could do a podcast just hoping that game happened before it even happened. But I'd like the Broncos out in the AFC at this point in time. And I'm out to make another bold pick and take Seattle in the NFC. I think, like I said, the winner of this game beats Atlanta next week, if that's the game. Mm-hmm. And how do you like this? Green Bay, San Francisco. Green Bay beats San Francisco, and in the NFC Championship game, you have Green Bay, Seattle, a rematch, bringing us full circle back to what ended the replacement refs.
That could be,
and
ridiculous.
Then Seattle beats them for real this time. That would be
quite a story.
If it was New England, Denver on one side, and Green Bay, Seattle on the other,
NFL would just have dollop signs coming out of their ears.
They would say, "Who needs more playoff games when you've got matchups like this?" So, man, oh man, it's been a Disney-like season with these rookie quarterbacks and with the Colts and with everything going on, so why not have a few more compelling stories down the stretch? So we'll see what happens, but this week I'm glad that we're opposite on a lot of games.
Yeah.
I'm actually not, considering how much better you were at picking games this year, I'm not thrilled to be on the opposite side. I was hoping you'd be on more, but it makes for more compelling arguments.
Sure, why not?
So, good to be back. Forgot what you looked like. I forgot what you sounded like. It's good to get this going again, and we'll finish the season up strong. As always, you can email me at VegasDavesDime@gmail.com.
Or me at KevinJTAY@gmail.com, and you can check out this podcast and all things sports at sportsinvasion.net.
Thank you guys for joining us. Enjoy the playoffs, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.